Welcome, everyone, to our newest episode of Toonami Therapy, at least in the week we put this up, because the week after that, it will no longer be our newest episode. So that's going to date this quite a bit, won't it? Anyway, it is December 20th, and I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
All right, and we're going to be getting into our stuff. Now, normally we kind of skip over some stuff because, you know, there's so much of it, we can only do so much. But this time we actually watched everything, so we're going to get our thoughts on all of the things, except for Dragon Ball Z Kai, because that was just a rerun. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it wasn't even the one where these the over 9,000 won anyway, so why bother? Okay, so we'll begin with episode 30 of My Hero Academia. So basically, they ultimately are able to then defeat Stain, the hero killer guy. So then they tie him up. I don't know, I found that just a little funny. After they beat him up, they just tie him up.
I thought of, if the villains are that weak that they can be tied up, I mean, what do you need heroes for?
Well, they had to knock him out first, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, a lot of, like, the powers aren't the thing. I still don't mean that you can get out from, like, ropes and stuff. Like, his main thing was, like, controlling people if he was able to get their blood. But anyway, so basically it was what they, all they could really do right then. But after that, in the meantime, all the other heroes are stopping the big monster guys that are attacking. And ultimately, you know, they manage, all of them seem to get defeated, and the kids, you know, bring Stain over, but then he manages to, you know, break out of the rope, so I guess they weren't that good after all.
Yeah, like I said.
Anyway, and then he grabs Deku, but he also, I guess, in showing that he actually was sort, like, you know, he was a bad guy, but he wasn't completely evil, because he did actually defeat, like, the bad monster thing to help Deku. But then he collapses because his rib punctured his lung,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of funny. But anyway, so everything, all the bad guys are defeated either by the heroes, the other bad guys, or through a punctured lung.
You forgot to mention that about half of this episode was just Ida angsting and having angsty flashbacks.
Yeah, there was a good amount of that, too. I don't know. Outside of that, I did think the episode was fairly entertaining.
Yeah, average, I'd say.
Okay. All right, so that was My Hero Academia. After that is Naruto, episode 230. Now, at first glance, this episode seems to be a completely idiotic mess. However, upon further introspection, I've realized that this episode is not that. It is, in fact, a very elaborate commentary on labor and management and their relationship. You see, Naruto, in this case, clearly represents management, and the Shadow Clones are labor. They are tired of management being unfair to them, so they decide to get together and form a union. However, when Naruto attempts to employ, to make more Shadow Clones to fight them later in the episode, which and I appreciate the fact the episode allows you to take multiple interpretations, for they could either be Union Busters, or they could be Scab Workers. But this only backfires on him, much like how the proletariat overthrew the oppressive government in Russia, establishing the Soviet Union. However, the new government ended up being oppressive also, as shown by the fact that the clones then attempt to kill Naruto. And Okay, that's about as far as I'm going to go with that. This episode was one of the the stupidest things I've seen.
And isn't it inconsistent with, like, the rest of Naruto?
Well, it is a dream. It is a dream. Almost all of it was a dream.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which is, I always thought the dumbest way to end an episode of anything is with, it was all just a dream.
I feel this episode, like, with all, like, the crazy stuff, with the Shadow Clones apparently having wills of their own and deciding to, like, take over the ship and, you know, demand, like, Naruto treat them better and stuff, and then trying to, like, actually kill him at the end. And I kind of, at that point, you just had to have it be a dream. I honestly was ready to say, even from the beginning, that, like, wow, this brings up so many questions that it does, that at odds with the rest of the series. I wonder if this whole thing is just going to be a dream to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest thing about this episode is I could have accepted it as just being a bunch of silly nonsense. Because I'm pretty sure that's what they were intending to write. Just a very silly comedy episode. I at least feel that was intentional, unlike that one where Tsunade is trying to capture Naruto by sending everyone in the village after him, rather than, you know, spending like 10 seconds explaining why she needs him to come with her. Which was, I don't think was supposed to be comedic. This one was. The problem is the ending suddenly becomes weirdly introspective about, like, dreams of shadow clones and stuff. And I'm like, this is not consistent with the wackiness of everything else in this episode.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
But as bad as this episode was, it was not nearly as bad as the last one. But that last one was so bad, it was really funny. Did you ever get around?
Yeah,
to
I did. That? Actually, I would think it's kind of the converse for me. That one was like bad and kind of dumb, but this one just brought it to a new level in terms of that. To the point that I'm looking at this episode and I can't decide whether I love it or hate it. It's like the ending of like the second half of the final episode of Iron Blooded Orphans. To this day, I'm not sure if what I think of that ending because it's so completely silly. But at the same time, that makes it endearing.
Wait, what happened in that?
That was the ending. Was okay. So after like Mikazuki and Orga get killed. And, you know, most of the rest of the characters get out. What happens is things turn out perfectly well, like super great for every single character that's still alive. The good guys come out great. The bad guys come out great. The whole world, like, comes out super great because, like, you know, new stuff gets put into place to improve everyone's life. And for everyone else, everything turned out perfectly great for them. It was just the weirdest thing that it's like everything turned out great for everyone that was like, who didn't die. It's like the happiest ending possible. And it's just so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got that. So I guess that's my thoughts on that, episode. So we got Boruto episode 11, which unfortunately was nowhere near as silly as Naruto was. So, it's much more, forgettable. So basically they're going and trying to find like the person who's being controlled by the stuff. And, then they find the guy and defeat it and then the bad guy controlling all of them gets away and there's something about and yeah that I, there's so much that's kind of it. It's the same thing we've seen quite a bit. They beat the guy who is possessed and then they're defeated.
I'm just trying to figure out who's everyone's kids in this show. Like, I can't figure out who's Sakura's and who's, you know, Ino's and all of them.
Ino and Sai's kid, that's a blonde-haired guy with the pale skin. I think doesn't he have a purple shirt on? That's that kid.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. So, because of course we never saw the ending of Naruto since it's...
Yeah, that's a good point. You would think that this would more clearly establish who's everyone's in, like, this series, who everyone's parents are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I mean, there's obvious ones, but then there's ones that aren't so obvious, and you're left guessing, and then the jokes don't work whenever you don't know what they're talking. You know, if it's a joke on Sai, but I don't know that it's Sai's, you know, son, then the joke doesn't work, you know?
Okay. So, as usual, I just don't really have that much to say about the series, unfortunately. So, this time we'll actually be covering Dragon Ball Super Episode 91. People are preparing for the big tournament. There you go. Just like they've been doing for the last, let me see, 1, 2... For the last, about 8 episodes.
8 episodes of this?
Yes!
Really?
It's basically just been them, like, recruiting the people for it. Usually in kind of underwhelming episodes.
Yeah, this was very underwhelming and brought back memories of why I stopped watching Dragon
Ball.
Yeah,
you did not miss anything past a point where you stopped, because it's really just all this stuff, which I have seen a bunch of people say, yeah, this is like one of the weakest parts of the series. But I've heard that once they actually get into the tournament, which is, I don't know, maybe 5 episodes or so, once that actually starts, it's actually pretty good. That's what I've heard. Like, oh, that's the best part of the show. If you should, like, someone suggested, oh, just skip straight to that because that's where the good stuff is. So I'm at least hopeful for that. But yeah, this episode wasn't that great. The only real big thing that happened was that, you know, well, I'll be fair. That I did think it was that person in that other universe who was, like, the parody of, like, the magical girl transformation. That was actually pretty... But she just, like, makes herself super overweight. That was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, Yeah, it's pretty much like you said, just a waste of time. Why are they stalling like this? Is it a filler situation?
It's a filler situation, I think. But hey, on the plus side, this episode great, but the one like I think 2 episodes ago was not as good as this one. Golly, that was a weak episode. But at this point I'm just kind of like, just get to the tournament already. That's the part that's supposedly the exciting thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if this thing probably reads better in the manga, because, you know, it cuts out a lot of this filler stuff and, you know, kind of makes some things make more sense. I actually really recently started to listen to this podcast of some people who were just discussing the show, and that was something I kind of heard, like, yeah, the manga is better paced, and but yeah, that's the big thing I said. Once the Tournament of Power starts, that's when things are actually good. But we're not there yet. Okay. But yeah, only big thing is, oh, Boo fell asleep. Okay, well, okay. He seems, he has a convenient tendency to fall asleep in the battles where he would be a major help, I've noticed.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mob Psycho 100, episode 7. So, So Mob's brother, you know, is helping this guy sort of rule like the school with psychic powers, except then everyone mistakes that other guy for him and he just gets beaten up a bunch and then and stuff. So that was kind of a conclusion to something from the past previous episode that you didn't see. So then there's some other stuff with him getting into fights. Honestly, the best part is where the person tries to like swindle Mob out of like money for like breaking a vase, but then that other guy, the sort of a fake psychic guy, you know, his boss, like comes in and then just basically pulls all the schemes back on them to make them like, you know, leave him alone. That was actually kind of funny. Other than that, it was just an episode where some kind of okay stuff happened. It's, I don't know, this show is just so hard for me to give real reactions to.
My reaction is it sucks. I mean, that's my reaction. I don't like this show at all. Even Tokyo Ghoul, it took me almost an entire season to finally give up on it. Like, this show made me give up within 4 episodes, which is, like, really bad. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't dislike it as much as you do. It just kind of exists for me. The problem is I can't help but look at this and compare it to One Punch Man, and it just seems to be a weaker version of that. And it, like, One Punch Man, like this series, kind of was a mixture of action and comedy, and it sometimes seemed like it didn't really know which one it was going for. So this takes that problem, except the comedy isn't as funny and the action isn't as good.
Yeah, I would argue that there's no action and the comedy is hit or miss. So, yeah. Yeah, I just can't get into this. Like, whenever the new year comes around, then I think I'm going to drop this show again. So, okay. Yeah, this will probably be the last episode I watch.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. There's like, this season isn't. We've got like 5 episodes left of it anyway, so. Yeah.
How many seasons are there?
There's been 1 season. There's going to. The only one season has aired. A second season has been ordered, but has not aired yet.
Man, I hope the ratings are in the tank. That way it doesn't get that second season on Toonami.
Okay. Well. Then we'll move on from that to episode 2 of Megalobox. So, Junk Dog ends up in the boxing match against that Yuri guy. And he loses. And then he's like, "Hey, I want to fight you again." And then he's like, "Oh yeah, well if you want to fight me, well, you should come into my ring." And then Junk Dog's like, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to enter that big competition thing." And so then he tells his like manager guy, "Hey, you should get me into that." And he's like, "No, I can't do that. Go back into like what you were doing before." Except then instead of throwing the match, you know, he just like punches a guy and beats him, which gets his manager in big trouble with like the mobster guy. And honestly, I didn't really like that. I'm going into that deal because I didn't really like that part of Junk Dog. It kind of made him seem like he didn't really care about the guy at all. If he was just going to, like, you know, do that and put him in danger, that kind of annoyed me a little. But anyway, that guy is able to convince the mob guy who's kind of been paying them to throw the fight, said, "Hey, if you give him like a fake ID and let him go and compete in the stuff, then we'll get all the money and pay you back and stuff." And he's like, "Well, there's like 10 episodes left. Might as well give you a shot." So he does. So they do that, and then they're gonna go and try to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I actually like this episode. I like how now they're, You know, I don't know how to say it.
There's like more of a clear, there's a goal for the series, you mean?
Yeah, not only that, but I like how that, I don't know the characters' names, unfortunately, so that hurts. But the one guy with one eye, like, he seemed to come across to me as a pretty interesting mm-hmm. character. Not like I like the guy, but that I felt bad for mm-hmm. him. So it was like, so I felt like, okay, now I understand where he's coming from. He isn't just being a jerk for no mm-hmm. reason. And then it kind of, you know, makes me think, okay, now I want to go and see, you know, him succeed in the, well, his client or whatever you would mm-hmm. call him, excel in the ring. That way he can, maybe then he can,
pay back like the money he owes and stuff.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Oh. There was something, someone messaged me while you were talking to me.
No, sorry. That's fine.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Junk Dog, he chooses the name, like, Joe, but I'm like, well, what about last names? I assume people have last names. What's the last name? Is he, hang on. Let's move back a little, and I'll come back to that in a sec. And so, you liked the episode also. Yeah, I also liked it. I thought... I didn't really like that part about, like, the way he just kind of, like I mentioned, Junk Dog just kind of puts the other guy in jeopardy, just kind of, rather than at least, you know, trying to do a bit more to convince him or something. But other than that, it was an entertaining episode.
Okay,
going back. So he chooses the name Joe. What if he could have chosen, made that his last name, and then he'd be JoJo, just like our next show. See, I had to pull back because that was my transition, and I had to say it just before I went into JoJo. Okay, so we have Diamond is Unbreakable, episode 16. So in this case, Jotaro and Josuke go to try to find a rat that got hit by the bow and arrow and has developed a stand. So they go to do that, and the rat is able to, like, make people and other things sort of, I don't know what to really call it. It's not really melting, more like, it's not really decomposing. It's just kind of a weird sort of transformation where they look all gross and stuff. That's what I'm going to call it. A weird transformation where they look all gross and stuff. Anyway, so they manage to kill the rat, but then it turns out there's another rat. So they, of course, end up having to, in the usual JoJo fashion of, you know, having to go up against someone with a stand and managing to figure out how to use your abilities to beat them and outsmart them and all that stuff. And they're able to do it. Although, like, Jotaro, like, multiple times in this episode gets... What was I called? I can't remember. It gets done that thing that makes him look gross and stuff. What was it? That thing. Which is convenient because he's the one who can be healed, and it doesn't happen to Josuke because he can't be healed. But so then they ultimately beat the rat, and that's the episode. It's honestly basically kind of a standalone episode, but I did find it entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty stupid, actually. I don't really understand what's the point of fighting rats. And we are still, like, how far are we into this part of JoJo where we still don't have, like, a real goal for the characters to carry out, you know? It's still these standalone episodes and stuff, and... I guess that's good if they're good episodes, but if it's just like shooting rats, that doesn't appeal to me at all, you know?
There was also there I mean, I did find it more enjoyable, but yeah, I am kind. I didn't really mind that one because we did, I guess, recently have the thing with, you know, getting the bow and arrow, and it's sort of been dealing with that. But yeah, it is my understanding that we do get into a more, like, you know, actual introducing the main antagonist of the season, like, in the next several episodes. I think, like, maybe, I think they're shown earlier, and we're first, like, formally introduced to them, like, I think 4 or 5 episodes from now, so... That's coming up fairly quick, close. Comment I wanted to make note of, though, because this was so weird, and that's when Jotaro, after they like beat the rat, like says something about how like the rats are a reflection of our destruction of the environment, and I was just like, where did that come from? Like, it's just so out of nowhere, and it's not mentioned again. And I'm just thinking, like, I looked it up. Parasite the manga was actually running when this part of the manga ran. Was it meant as a joke on that? To say, oh, look, here, I'll just throw in a random environmentalist line out of nowhere. See, it's a parody on how Parasite kept doing that. Like, that's what I was left wondering, because it's so random, and I was thinking, was it meant to be a joke on that, or what?
Yeah.
Okay, so, that's that. Then we'll move on to, Black Clover episode 50, which is, basically, kind of the end of the arc that we just finished, so, So you kind of probably just came into this without, like, any real, like, idea of what was going on or who most of these characters were.
Right. I noticed I still remembered about half of the Black Bulls and just saw that everyone's celebrating, everyone's happy. And, you know, I guess it was like that episode where the entire Leaf Village is destroyed, yet everyone's so joyous with Naruto, but it doesn't look like anything big got destroyed for this, but yeah, it was all just a big celebration, and everyone's happy, and I assume that means that a new arc will be starting in the new year, which would make it convenient to start watching again in that case, so... Okay. Because it doesn't seem like much has changed, really.
Yeah, this year, this honestly was a pretty... I was kind of watching more of it. This actually was a fair... Well, before that, something I noted... When I was watching this episode, and I you, like, mentioned that you actually watched all the stuff to me, and I was thinking, the way you feel when watching this is probably how I felt when... I think the first full episode of Bleach I ever saw. I saw some bits and pieces of episodes before then, but this was, I think, the first one that I, like, watched and was really paying attention to was the one at the very end of the Soul Society arc, where, you know, they then, like, leave the Soul Society. And while this episode reminds me of that, in that if you just went into this, you'd have no idea what any of this was. But...
Yeah.
But that episode of Bleach, I had no idea, but I found it entertaining enough that I actually took up the show. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I personally did like the episode. I thought a bunch of, like I said, it basically comes right after they beat, like, the villain and managed to get everything. I thought a bunch of the jokes were kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is basically like the conclusion of the arc, which, like I said, I remember in the manga, this arc did a lot to, like, make me like the show more, and I actually saw a bunch of people, like, saying, oh man, I'm glad I stuck with this show, it managed to get a lot better, so, yeah.
Yeah, actually, from what I'm hearing, everyone's saying good things about Black Clover, which makes me disappointed that I stopped watching it.
Yeah, I think you actually stopped watching almost right before it started improving.
Well, I could start watching it again. I'm going to be confused as heck, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember that much about whether the next arc is good or not. It kind of blur. Well, it didn't make that big of an impression on me when I read it, so maybe that's it. But I did like this one. I liked the fact that it managed to have focus on, like, you know, so many of the characters. People did important things, and also I wanted to mention this because it's something I noticed. Of all of the series that is currently airing on Toonami, or that we're like going through that's off Toonami, Black Clover, as far as I can tell, is by a considerable margin the one that has its female characters like do important things and be important in the show.
Yeah, you're right about that, because like no other show has. Yeah, that's kind of sad, really. I mean, that kind of tells you what audience they're going for. They assume no women watch Toonami. So,
well, I'm,
even though it's all women voice actresses who are voicing all the characters.
Yeah, well, in some cases, like, you can kind of, some of the things like sort of make some sense. Like, oh, Dragon Ball, that was from a while ago. JoJo was like, you know, back when they were in the manga a while like ago. I mean, Dragon Ball Super is more recent, but it's still a continuation of that. But yeah, that was just what I noticed. Black Clover, like, Noelle is basically the second most important character in the series, and I'm like, what other series that even has aired recently on Toonami that has, you would say the second most important character in the series is female? Like, maybe Attack on Titan, if you count Mikasa as that. I would count Armin personally, but
Armin's a girl, bro.
So, I totally set myself up for that. Okay.
Well, yeah, I see what you mean.
Okay. So, all right, so that's Black Clover. Even if we didn't spend that much time talking about the episode itself, it's just a wrap-up episode, so not really too much to say about it. But, okay, so then we'll go to Hunter x Hunter episode 123.
Okay. This is where I come in. And let's see what happened in this episode. Okay. So the octopus, whose name I should know. Ikalgo. Yeah, I should know these guys' names. Let's see. What was the name of that other guy? Blossler? Is that his name? No, that was the guy who
I think
was,
it's like Wolfen or something?
Wolfen. Okay. Wolfen. Yeah, Wolfen. Yeah, Wolfen. He threatens Ikalgo. And so basically, he's going to kill Ikalgo. But Ikalgo's like, well, I don't care if you kill me because I'm going to be loyal to my friends. And it just so happens that Ikalgo needs like a certain type of answer in order to activate his attack. So he's able to get these bugs into Ikalgo, but he's not able to kill him. So then Ikalgo starts asking him those deep emotional questions like, what was it like when you were a human? And then he kind of breaks down and now he's a good guy. And yeah, that's pretty much the entire episode. And whenever I said that there was good stuff that went on, I'll get to the part of the end. I know I'm forgetting something. But whenever I said that the Ikalgo part was the best part, I wasn't referring to this part. This part is kind of boring. I just thought that part with the elevator and that whole strategy thing, that was a good part. This part, not as good. Then, of course, at the end, Ikalgo is able to get Wolfen to release the location of Palm. And Palm's been in a cocoon all this time. Like, I don't get it either. But so now she comes out, and now she's like a butterfly because she, you know, used to be just kind of plain looking, and now she's like really beautiful. And that's how the episode ends, that Palm is out there. And no real update on, there was like a tiny update on the fight between, I think it was stuff we already saw, the fight between the king and Netero. So yeah, this wasn't a very eventful episode, but there you have
it. Yeah, it was interesting because when we cut back to Ikago, it's like, all right, that was like the best thing in this arc, like in this part of the arc. Is it going to be good again? And then as I'm watching it at first, and it's kind of like, okay, this is kind of interesting. And then it just goes, and then it just kind of collapses on itself.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, I really enjoyed the part wherever he was trying to outthink the other guy. But now this time, it's just kind of like, okay, we're going to beat him with love, you know, that whole thing. And I would have rather seen him have to, you know, outthink the guy or something like that. But whatever, that's what happened this week on Hunter x Hunter. Again, not great, but I still like the series. I'm still holding out hope for the end of this arc, so because I know what happened. So yeah.
Okay. Is it a forlorn hope, or is it something to actually be hopeful about?
No, it the end of the arc is really good. So I mean, well, it's at least better than this. It's not as good as the York New City arc, and that was my favorite, but the end of this arc shouldn't be that far away, though. Who knows? I forget how long they dragged this out.
Let's see. I can.
No, don't look.
Oh, I won't spoil myself. I'm just going to see. I'm just looking up to see like what episodes like the arc comprises. Okay. Okay. So it looks like the arc, at least according to this, the next arc starts at episode 137. This is 123, so there's like, you know, still like 14 episodes. But admittedly, I don't know how it's quantifying arcs. It could be like there's a bunch of middle stuff, like, you know, in between arc stuff is counting as part of this arc or whatever or something like that.
Oh, that sounds very accurate. That sounds very accurate because they kind of drag out this whole. As much as it looks like we are very close to a conclusion, we actually aren't. So, yeah. I mean, as much as you like to think, okay, the king versus Netero, that has to be the big final battle. And, well, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how to say it. It's like a very satisfying, yet at the same time, very dissatisfying ending to the arc. Mm. So, I don't know if that makes any sense to you. It might make sense when we get there. So just stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I know a few of the things that happen later on, like not all of it. Like, so I know a few of it's kind of like I know some specific stuff, but not necessarily like the generalities, but not a lot of the stuff that I can't really explain this without actually saying the things I know, but there's a bunch of stuff I don't know yet.
Well, I know I guess if someone's listening, I don't want it to spoil it to anyone, so we won't say anything here. But I already know everything that happens in the anime. So
basically, I know the general substance of the upcoming arcs, but I don't know a lot of the specifics. Basically,
okay. I thought there was only one arc left anyway.
I thought there was because I know there's like, I guess I can say election arc. But I thought there was sort of an arc between the Chimera Ants and that one, but maybe it's counts as
part. No, there's two arcs running concurrently. That's the best way. All right,
that works. Okay. All right, so we're done. So there's Hunter, and that's all the stuff that aired on Toonami. Well, all the stuff that wasn't reruns, anyway.
I was like, man, that seemed kind of short. Okay, yeah.
Well, some of them we didn't necessarily have that much to talk about. I mean, I can go further into my theories regarding regarding the commentary in the Naruto episode.
You know, I was thinking of like some sort of sports parallel to it, like the NFL player strike of 1987, but you wouldn't get any of that. So I'm glad you came up with something on your own.
Okay. Well, however, if not, you did provide us with a great transition to Ice Shield 21, episode 112.
Okay, so this episode now has been rendered useless to me thanks to the fact that Crunchyroll puts up a summary of the next episode once you finish watching this one, and the summary of the next episode completely spoils the next episode, meaning that I feel like I watched this episode for nothing. And I just don't understand why Crunchyroll's descriptions flat out spoil entire episodes.
This is why I tried not to read them.
Yeah, well, I'm lazy, so I kind of just like hit the circle button and then leave the PlayStation on, and there's no other choice but to read it. So basically, Shinryuji pretty much is better than Daemon in every single facet of the game. And we still get this awkward thing, which this show has never really resolved. The fact that I can only count 10 players on the offense, and there's supposed to be 11 on the field. So I don't know where this other 11th guy is. It's not the bench warming guy. You got the Haha brothers, that's mm-hmm. three. You've got Kurita, you've got Konosubi, that's five. Then you've got Haruma, you've got
Manta, Senna,
and Taki, that's nine. We're missing. There's supposed to be 11 players. There's 11 players on the team. I can only count nine right now. Who are these other people? Like, why don't we hear from? I just don't get it. If you're gonna have a story about a football team, I can understand if you have only nine. Okay, but here's the problem. The problem with football is that you can't win a game with just nine players. You have to use every single player on your team. Here's the caveat to that. If say they were offensive linemen, I couldn't understand this, because you could just say, okay, those are just grunts up there pushing all the time.
Oh, Musashi, the kicker. That brings us to 10.
Well, yeah, but the kicker doesn't play offense. The kicker only comes on for field goals and extra points. So the offense is still missing two people. Unless Musashi's playing a different position, but we never see it. We never see him playing a position. We just see him.
I know kicking. There's another character on the team, but I can't remember his name. I like barely. He doesn't really say much or do much. I only remember him because in like the final, in like a later match, there's this part where the Devil Bats pull this thing to try to make it so that the other team doesn't know who's holding the ball. And it goes to this, the guy whose name I can't even really remember. And someone says, oh, no one would think of him. He's not noticeable. So, but I can't remember, his name much, but I know there's at least someone else.
But. Yeah, well, that's kind of a funny joke because it's making fun of itself, you know. But anyway, then we see them on defense, and we see Haruma's playing defense, so that obviously means that they're playing both sides of the ball, you know, like they used to do in the 1960s. And, no, 1960s is too recent. 1950s, I would say, is the most recent NFL players play both sides of the ball. Now, I know they do it in high school more often, but football's become much more specialized, and there's not as many players who play both sides of the ball anymore. But as they have only got 10 players, I assume they've got to play both sides of the ball. And Haruma makes a tackle, and yeah, it's considered a great tackle because he kind of tricked the guy into tackling him. But that, you know, that's not really how football works. You don't really trick someone into letting them tackle you. But in any way, in any case, Damon falls behind by a couple touchdowns, and now I know what the score is going to be at halftime, thanks to Crunchyroll. And next episode we do of this, I'll be able to tell you the significance of that score as it relates to the NFL. So there's actually a very big significance to the score, which you would only understand if you followed NFL for a long time. So I will explain that on the next episode, but I refuse to spoil it like Crunchyroll did to me.
Okay. Well, good synopsis. I thought this was a fantastic episode, easily the best that I've of the show that I since I started watching it.
I don't agree that it was the best.
No, episode, since I started watching it, me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode too. I really enjoyed the action. It as much as the show has its flaws, it does capture football in a very good way, and I can see why it made football more popular in Japan.
Yeah, it was. I just found. I mean, I doubt it's a coincidence that I'm like, oh man, this was awesome. I can't wait to see the next episode. In the first episode, that I think is fully and completely canon. The past ones, I think some of them like had some parts of canon, but I think all of them had at least some filler in them. I might be wrong, but in any case, this is like the game. That's like, you know, that's where the show is always at its best any way. So, and we're starting and I'm like, oh man, yeah, Damon, wow, they're totally, they're like so outmatched. How are they going to get out of this one? A god and like his brother have this really powerful, like dragonfly, the technique called the dragonfly, or well, as they call it, Dragonfry. but yeah, just a great episode. On the whole, it leaves me, I guess I'll say one of the things that, is annoying me a little when I'm trying to put together the, list of like, you know, how of the shows, you know, best to worst for that we'll be going through next week. I keep looking at shows and I'm like, oh man, I wish that we had a few more episodes, 'cause that would raise the show's average, because like I saw so much of this thing I saw was like, you know, a filler stuff, and I have to kind of try to mentally average all of it, and I'm just like, if we had a few more episodes like this, that would just that would tilt the balance and push it up higher.
Yeah, unfortunately, with everything that's going on in my life, I'm not going to be able to watch anything more before the end of the year, but this show probably going to be pretty high on my list. We'll find out. My list, by the way, just want to let you know, has 5 tiers to it. So, the tiers are truly great shows, overrated but good, middle of the road, shows I dislike, and shows I hate. And the goal is to try to guess which shows fall into which category. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah, and you said, you told me, like, even the number that was in each of them. Like, it was 4, 2, 4, 3, 4. Yeah, I didn't make any tiers for mine, unfortunately. I have trouble kind of separating them out that way. And actually, there's still a few that I'm still pondering on, but I'm pretty sure, like, everything is going to stay about the same place. There might be a few that I'll, like, switch around, but we'll see. Anyway, so we're done with that, and so yeah, great episode. Really excited for what's coming up when we'll come back to it. So in the next one, we've got Yoimushi Pedal episode 18. So we keep shifting. Am I doing Yoimushi Pedal or are you?
You can do it okay. This week.
So basically, so the big race between the guys ends up getting resolved with, well, my prediction was completely wrong last week, where I was, the first years, you know, the main characters manage to come ahead, the second years, you know, don't make it, and then they won't be in, like, the inter-high racing thing because, well, they kind of injured themselves and won't be able to finish, you know, getting up, like, the required 1,000 kilometers or whatever it was, and I was just, there were just so many things I was thinking. I was like, I'm still confused as to why it was so important to win this minor thing that's not really that important in terms of it. Especially because they, like, basically, like, you know, strained their muscles doing it and can't do it anymore. So you basically knocked yourself out of the competition over something that didn't matter. And I'm still waiting for someone to point out, yeah, well, even if you did beat them by a little, these guys gave you a run for your money while under a handicap. I know I keep bringing that up, but it keeps bugging me. Although I will give credit, at least one of the characters, like last episode, the guy is saying, oh, the winner is whoever has better will. And another guy says, like, no, willpower and friends don't win you things. So that was kind of good. But anyway, after we finish with that, everyone's still trying to, you know, get the right amount of the necessary things, except Onoda's pedal, like, breaks. And this, unfortunately, is where we come to another part that I find kind of stupid. So rather than, like, you know, go, you know, once they get back to sort of, like, the sort of rest stop, you know, telling one of, like, you know, the club, like, captains or whatever, hey, my bike kind of broke. Can I, like, get a different one? He, like, keeps trying to use it until, like, one of those other, like, the guys who, you know, kind of got disqualified comes up to him and, like, just fixes it for him. And I was just thinking, Onoda, you could have just explained the situation to the captain or something. Just say, hey, it's not working. Can I get a different one? Is there a fix or something? I mean, I can't imagine that he wouldn't accommodate that. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of felt a bit dumb to me. But anyway, it gets fixed. He's able to finish it with, like, 9 minutes to spare, which at least he didn't go for the super cheesy thing of, like, going down to, like, the last minute or second. There's just so many shows that just do it. It always bugs me. And I'm just like, so if the slightest thing had been different, you wouldn't have done managed it. That's kind of, yeah. Well, better than Code Lyoko, which, like, did that every single episode. The craziest, I don't know if you ever watched that show. Oh,
no,
there's one episode. So basically, I won't go into all this stuff, but the point is they were out to, like, stop this bad thing and but also are, like, able to, like, after doing that turn back time and stuff. And well, here's the important part. So someone is getting targeted by like this laser beam and they get shot at, but they're able to turn back time and go back. Like when the thing, the laser beam, which again, like these things move at the speed of light, is like a foot away from hitting the person. So we're talking, they managed to do it by like a billionth of a second. Okay. But anyway, not talking about French cartoons and getting back to Japanese cartoons. So yeah, that was it. Onoda basically manages to make it. They're all like gonna apparently go to the Inter-High competition after this, and that's our episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In terms of, like, I don't know, the problem I've just had with the last few episodes of Yowamushi Petals, I'm like, okay, you know, there's some decent stuff here, it's not boring, but there's just a bunch of stuff that happens, it just seems stupid to me.
Yeah, it started out really good, because it was, it was a lot like Ice Shield 21 in a way, you know, you had the whole underdog story, and now we've kind of ditched that whole thing in favor of this whole, pedal harder. and as you see, pedaling harder just made his pedal break. So, pedaling harder wasn't exactly the answer. So at least they do a good job of like teaching the viewer about cycling, mm-hmm. because that is, you know, the standard way people have their shoes strapped to their pedals. And so I did like that much of it. But at the same time, I see what mm-hmm. you mean.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that. And then we'll conclude on with World Trigger Episode 9. So, Jin gets told that he's supposed to grab Yuma's, Black Trigger. But then, through the power of bureaucracy, he's able to to get the orders instead to, like, just get it, doing it however he wants to do it. There's that. Then there's basically some sort of inter-debate among the border heads about, like, you know, what to do about the things, because it talks some about the different factions of it and, you know, concerns about powers and things. And then there's a bunch of stuff with Yuma and Chika talking to each other. And I know I'm going kind of fast this stuff, but honestly, there wasn't that much that happened in this episode. And then at the end, like, Jin's like, okay, well, I'll do the direct thing. Hey, Yuma, want to join Border? Which is and that's where we end up with the episode, essentially.
This episode, it was okay, but, you know, it didn't keep my attention that much.
That was like the problem. This is a weird thing. I spent so much of this episode just like trying to figure out what the people are doing with the cigarettes, because they're just in their mouths and they're not smoking at all. You never see any smoke come from it. And they're like even talking while holding it in their mouths, which probably is really hard to do. So, and then there's even that part towards the end where the guy like puts the cigarette into his mouth as if he's gonna smoke. And then it just stays there. He doesn't, like, exhale any smoke. He doesn't do anything. Every bunch of characters have cigarettes, but no one seems to actually smoke. Mm-hmm. Like, is that just the way it works in this world where people, like, you know, buy cigarettes and stuff, but no one ever smokes them? I mean, that's, mm-hmm. like, the healthier thing to do, but it just is so weird to see them like this, and then, except you never actually see anyone ever actually smoke them. Like you do, like in Black Clover, you see Yami, like, you know, smoke some.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. That's just something I notice a lot in this. And I know it's a minor thing, but it's just so weird to have them do that. And then, you know, just apparently going around with cigarettes in their mouths, but not actually using them as anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just kind of, a slow episode. Not that much happens. I know the next few episodes are better. Yeah, World Trigger is another one in terms of like evaluating for the end of end of year thing, and I'm just like, man, I wish we had started this earlier, because if we were like at like the point the episode count where we are in like Yowamushi Paddle, I know this would be higher on my final like end of year list, for example. But well, there's all the previews. There's some previews for how where things will end up. But so that's all that stuff. I guess we'll go for our usual top three shows. For me, the first was Ice Shield 21, then Black Clover, and then JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay, my first place one is also Ice Shield 21, and then second place would be... I can't even remember what I watched. Man, this is sad. I should remember. Let's see. Yeah, I'll go with Yowamushi Paddle second. And third, I will go with... this is tough. I would go with World Trigger. Yeah, I'll just go World Trigger.
All right. So that was our the stuff for this week. Oh, this was a pretty long one, I guess, because we went through so many shows.
Yeah, hopefully in the new year, that'll be one of my New Year's resolutions, is to start watching all of Toonami again. So I may be lost for a little while with Black Clover and Dragon Ball Super, but, if I can catch up on those, then...
Oh, like I can tell you, you have not missed anything in Dragon Ball Super since you dropped it. Like all you need to know is that Goku screwed up and created and caused this big inter-universe tournament where the winning tournament will like not be destroyed, and everyone's getting teams together to compete in it, and that's basically all that's happened. Well, actually, to be fair,
I wish I'd seen the episode when he screwed up. Now, how did that happen? You got to tell me. How did you screw
up? Basically, he wanted to, fight some people. So he basically, directly against Beerus's advice, goes over to, the Grand Zenos and we're saying, hey, what would be really cool? A big interdimensional, tournament with the best from all the universes. And they're like, okay, that seems great. And then he's like, all right, that's cool. And then he discovers, they're like telling him about it. But then he finds out that the actual prize for the tournament is that your universe won't be destroyed and all the others will. So he kind of did something stupid, but to be fair, he wasn't completely to blame for it. Although it is a bunch of, I know a lot of people, and I'll be honest, I was kind of annoyed about this, is the fact that Goku doesn't seem to really he's just still treating like, yeah, I'm going to fight people. Never mind the fact that, all of existence is at stake for a lot of them. at least it's not Boku Rano. I don't know if you've heard.
What's that?
That was just a series where, this manga anime series. So this is basically the premise of some of this stuff isn't revealed right away, but this is basically it. So these kids have to there's this big robot and they have to pilot it to destroy these giant monsters and stuff. And what ends up their universe gets destroyed. What it turns out is those monsters are just other people from other universes in their own, sort of giant robot things. And whoever loses each fight, their universe gets completely destroyed. Now, but here's the other thing. If you win the fight in the robot, then you die. So basically, if you win, you die. If you lose, your reality gets destroyed. That's the premise of the show.
And that reminds me of what we heard when we were down there in Mexico. My dad and I were on one of those Mexican excursion things, and we were taking a tour of like the old Mayan ruins. And we came to this one part, and it was like, this is the field, and they would use a person's head as the ball, and whoever won got the honor of getting mutilated in a sacrifice to the gods. So you were playing for your life, and if you won, you got to die. If you lost, you'd survive.
But yeah, that's basically what's been happening. I'll be fair, there was an aside where there was sort of a mini tournament that was actually decent. That was for the most part, but other than that, it's just kind of been getting people to go along and then needing to spend like a full episode or two on each of them. Can't be just, hey, want to come? Okay. Hey, want to come? Okay. Hey, want to come? Okay. It's got to be, hey, want to come? Well, I'm kind of busy protecting these animals here, so you'd have to give me a real big reason on to help you. Oh, look, aliens have shown up and are kidnapping the animals. If you help me fight them, then I'll join you. I am only exaggerating slightly with that description, by the way. We got this. This was fun. We'll see you next time when we give our end of the year rankings for all the stuff. Maybe you all can try to see what we'll think. I kind of put in a prediction for yours. I don't know if it'll be right or not. I guess horribly wrong on some things last year.
Well, that's okay. That's the fun of it. I like making fun of you. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. I look forward to seeing how well you do on it. So, because you'll probably be very accurate on it, and I will feel so dumb because you'll be able to read my mind.
I think I'll do a better job with like deciding what goes into each tier, especially as I know the numbers for them, but like the order within them is like harder. Like I can see, like I was thinking what would your top one be, and I'm looking, I think I think it's one of these two shows, but which one? Some of my picks might be a little surprising to you where I put them, but we'll do that, we'll find out about that next time. In the meantime, this has been Toonami Therapy. I think this might have actually been our longest episode so far.
New format.
Outside of maybe like our countdown thing was longer. I can't remember how long we spent on those last time, but yeah.
Bleach was the longest.
Well, yeah, but ever. That wasn't part of this. That was that old podcast that kind of we accidentally deleted.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've done that, once again, Toonami Therapy, you can see our past episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com, which is probably where you were seeing them anyway, but just in case you were seeing them somewhere else, I might as well mention that. We'll see you next week. Don't know exactly when we'll be doing it, but it'll be sometime like in the next week or so that we'll record that end of the year episode and put it up. So we'll see you then.